All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go back there where we stopped last week, and let's look at this. It's kind of strange to be preaching on this verse today with so many missing out of the service, but it just happened that way. Let's read verse 24 again, but then we're going to read verses 25 and 26 also. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, we kind of just focused on that last week. But it's a continuing thought. It's a semicolon there. The Bible verse is being broken up like they are. It's handy and helps us to find Scripture and everything, but sometimes it really causes people to not understand or get the whole meaning of what's being said because it's broken up, see? Mm-hmm. To provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you know, we just pull that verse, I've heard it all my life, and it just pulled out of context, and it's just, you know, this is why you shouldn't miss church, because the Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but it's there's a whole lot more strength to that verse when you take it in the context, the verse before and the verses after. That is the focus of what he's talking about here, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Again, the thought continues in verse 26. And like Seth mentioned in Sunday school there, I was looking at this morning. For, if we sin willfully, that's a preposition that connects what we just read to this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is connected to sinning willfully. See? I mean, you cannot deny that.
Right.
I mean, that adds a lot more strength to verse 25,
yes,
to the idea, the thought, the command of God about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So, forsaking the assembling of the church is a serious sin. Now, you can't read your Bible, read that, and not understand that.
Right.
All right. There's a lot of ways that people forsake the assembly where they belong. God set it up. The New Testament sets it up here where there are local churches, and we belong to a local church. You don't belong to a universal church. There is no such thing now. This is the church age. The church is made up of local churches. We're a part of the body of Christ, but we're not called out of this world yet. As out of this world, we're called to separate from this world, but we're still in the world. Mm-hmm. And while we're in the world, God's people meet together on the first day of the week. That's what the New Testament teaches us, not on Saturday, as so many have been led away to believe these days. It's not there, not rightly discerning the word of truth when you try to believe that Saturday is the day we ought to worship. You're not under grace, but under the law.
Right.
That's where you're at. To forsake is to abandon, to desert, to leave, to quit entirely. You ever known anybody that forsook the assembling of the saints of God? Forsook it.
Yep.
They quit. I mean, they left. They walked off. They deserted it. And they quit entirely. Now they do other things on the Lord's day. Mm-hmm. Habitually, continually. Sunday is their day to get their work done that they don't have time for because of their job or all their other activities that they have going. Sunday's a day to go to the ball game, go to the park, go have a picnic, go fishing, go hunting. That's what Sunday's for. If you ain't careful, you'll get run over by a truck pulling a boat out here today and going home. If you know, of course, they don't run over you. They just drive slow in the road because it's Sunday and they're in no hurry.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
This is the day when they have plenty of time to do whatever they want. A lot of those people that you see and pass on the road like that used to go to church.
Yes.
But they quit. Yeah. Now they go fishing.
Yeah.
Or something else. They forsook the assembling of God's people. They forsook it. They quit. They walked away. They stopped going. Said, I don't need it anymore. And like you said, they replaced it with something else that they love now.
Right.
And it's a serious sin. They, according to this, they have sinned willfully after they receive the knowledge of the truth. And there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. What are you going to do for people? What hope is there for people who will not come to church?
Right, yeah.
There ain't much hope for them. It's a miracle if any of them ever get saved. And if they do, mark it, they'll get to church somewhere.
Yes.
They will go to church.
Yep.
It makes me very, it's very offensive to me. And it makes me almost angry at the devil for the lies that he's put into the minds of people that you don't need church and it's just an option and if you want it, you can do it. If you don't, well, but you're better off not to go because there ain't nothing but trouble there and churches are a mess and everything else. And it's unbelievable to me, the people that I've went to church with in the past who have forsaken the church and think they're still on their way to heaven. And when they meet up to me, they'll want to talk about spiritual things and act like that everything is okay. Well, it's not okay. It is not okay with you when you lay out of church.
Right.
I mean, and when you quit. We're talking about forsaking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, men, most who forsake the assembling of the church, they don't do it immediately and entirely. They do it, they don't just one day say, I'm quitting. That's not how it's done. They slowly ease out. I mean, you're talking somebody's been in church 45 years. I've watched it over and over and over, and this is how it works. They'll be sitting toward the front, and they'll move to the farther to the back and farther to the back, and then you look back there a few Sundays, and they're gone. They'll be there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Then they'll quit Wednesday night. Always quit Wednesday night first.
Yes, sir.
And then they quit Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Then you only see them on Sunday morning for a while, and then you don't see them at all.
Yep.
That's how it works. Every single time, they slide right out.
Mm.
They're not all spiritual and involved and in on everything one Sunday, and the next Sunday they're, I quit! That ain't how it happens. They ease their way out. And as they do, they become involved in other affairs. That's why they're sliding out. They're getting involved in worldly things with worldly people and worldly associations. They've changed their affections to things below, things of the world. And that's why they have to slide out of church. They move away sometimes to other places. I remember when it was common among the people I went to church with for people to move somewhere where there was a good church to go to. They quit their good job and take a poor job just to be in a good church.
Yep.
I remember when people did that. Now people will be in a good church and they'll move away to some desert place
for
more money.
Yep.
And not have anywhere to go to church. And then you try to talk to them and they say, well, we just ain't got nowhere to go to church. They say, no good churches around here. Well, tells you what priorities, what they really love.
Mm-hmm.
They transfer their fellowship when you forsake the assembling of the church. You transfer your fellowship with other people to other groups beside the church. Mm-hmm. You say?
You sure do.
Clubs, associations, activities that people do. I mean, there's 1,000 of them now. The church is, I read these obituaries and a lot of the old people, almost all of them, they belong to the Eastern Star or the Masonic Temple. You know, they were a Mason or they were an Eastern Star, same thing.
Yeah.
Male and female. I've always wondered about that because how can that be? How can you have your loyalty? They demand loyalty. The Masons do.
Yes,
and so does the Eastern Star. In fact, any worldly club like that demands your faithfulness and your loyalty and your attendance and your money. And people will get mad at the church over those very things. and go join some worldly club that demands the same thing from them. And they'll gladly give to them. And they'll gladly change their affections over to people like that and forsake the assembling of the church. They may get a job that requires them to work at the times when the church is meeting. And I know that it's that way now. I know I gripe about it a lot because, like the kids, you know, and everybody nowadays, it's hard to find a job that's during the day and you go home at night and sleep and you're off on the weekends. I grew up in a world where everybody, that's where everybody worked. Very few jobs where people had to work. And now everybody's working. You never know when they're working and when they're not. They don't even know. Right. They have to check their schedule, because it's midnight to noon or noon to midnight or anything in between. You know, it's like Coda has to work. I mean, it's just all changing around all the time. Work till 12 o'clock midnight and have to be back in at 7 in the morning. Yeah. Or even 4. They've done that to him before. And this keeps everybody all messed up. But I'll tell you what. I've just always... God's just always been first in my priority list. Job? No job. I mean, I am just not going to have a job that demands my time that belongs to God.
Right.
Now, that's just the way I am about it. Now, you can make your choices just ever how you want to.
Yeah.
But the consequences will be yours to suffer.
Yes, sir.
Sunday is the Lord's day.
Yes, sir.
It's when the church meets.
Yes.
And I'm just not going to work on Sunday.
Mm-mm.
Now, you do what you want to. And you figure it out for yourself. But I'm not going to. I'm not. And there's very few things that I say anymore because I'm old enough to have learned. I'll never. I tell some of you, don't ever say never. But I'm saying never on this one. I will not.
That's right.
There's just some things that I've made up my mind about that I've discovered that are most important. And being in church is most important.
Yes.
It's more important than a job. I've found out that God is faithful, and He'll provide for me. As long as I'm faithful to Him, I don't have anything to worry about. He'll take care of me.
That's right.
The verses you read there in 1 Peter this morning, right, but the verse before that, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry.
Amen.
Therefore, who's going to harm you? How's anybody going to harm you when God's listening and watching for you? So that's where the priorities ought to be.
Amen.
Sometimes people get mad, and they get offended, and they get dissatisfied or just quit, and they get offended at the preacher, usually, because he's the one doing the most talking. He's the one that's going to offend people. He's the one that's going to lay out what God says, and so they leave. Sometimes preachers do that on their own. They make demands that God doesn't make. They say things that God didn't say that offends people. And that's a shame. Shouldn't be that way. But when the preacher preaches the Word of God to you, I mean, we're focused on these verses here, and you can't misunderstand these verses. And you can't divide them up and explain them away and take away from what it says here. Very important about being in the assembling of ourselves together. You can't redefine that either. Most people leave church because they're mad at the preacher or they get crossways with other people. And they do that on purpose because they've already made up their mind they're leaving.
Yes.
And so before they leave, they'll create some kind of conflict or offense with the preacher or somebody else. And then they'll leave. And don't tell me that ain't so, because I've seen it so scores of times in my life in church. I see people get crossways sitting in the pew. I watch their face and their expressions and the way they interact with everybody and the preacher. And then before long, somebody's a devil and somebody's done them wrong. And out they're gone and they got an excuse and they're justified for doing it because, after all, somebody did them wrong. Before you forsake the assembly, you ought to consider one another. The verse we read last week there and preached about provoking to love and to good works. Consider the effect it'll have on the church if you leave. If you forsake the assembling of yourselves, what will it have? What kind of effect will it have on the children that saw you there, knew you there? I know people that have lived around here that have been deacons in churches for years and then ended up drunkards for the rest of their life. God-hating drunkards.
Yep.
I've known people that have been preachers and have preached all around this area, in tents and everything else, and end up in prison, dealing drugs and everything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have. Ain't no secret around here. I've come back and preached to them after they got out of prison and they got mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Sure did. Consider the effect it'll have on the children, yours and others. Consider the fact that you might want to come back one day. You better think about burning all your bridges behind you in everything you do. Your job, your church, your family. You better be careful about that because there may come a day, and likely will, when you'll wake up and realize what you had, what you threw away, and you might want to come back. So think about that before you forsake the assembling. Now, assembly speaks of a gathering together and not the church as a body. So it's very, very clear what he's talking about here. He's not talking about forsaking the way of God or forsaking the universal church. He's talking about quitting going to church where they meet. Quit going to the meetings. That's what he's talking about. Forsaking the meetings. Forsaken the meeting together of the church.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Assembly. Even in the Old Testament, it was a holy convocation. If you look that up, that means assembly. A gathering of the people. Public worship. Corporate worship together. That means a bunch of people getting together in one place to worship God, to hear his word. That's what it was about. Old Testament, New Testament. Therefore, it's referring mainly to attending church services. It's not primarily about apostatizing from the way of God or from the church. It's talking about just quit going to church. I've never met anybody who quit going to church and got closer to God. Never met anybody who quit going to church and lived a holier life. Never, never. It doesn't happen that way.
Sir, sure don't.
I never met anybody that quit going to church and got a clear understanding of the Bible. I never met anybody who quit going to church that kept a burden for souls and tried to get other people to get saved.
Yeah.
They drove them away. They said, I quit. You don't have to go to church.
Yeah.
That's their lingo. That's their sales pitch that they give to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They try to get other people not to go and be like them.
Yeah.
We should be at church when the doors are open. And there's understandable excuses for missing once in a while. I mean, we all know that. But that's always how people begin to forsake God. They start forsaking the assembling, start missing the assembling, the gatherings, the meetings. They just won't come faithfully. People I went to church with years ago, no matter how it's all turned out, people came to church. When somebody got saved, they came to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They didn't lay out. They didn't lay out of Sunday school. They didn't lay out of church. They didn't lay out on Wednesday nights.
Yep.
They were there.
Yes,
we went to church. If the snow was a foot deep, we went to church. If there was ice on the parking lot, we went to church.
Sure,
we loaded all the kids in the car and went to church. Yeah.
Yep.
With no seat belts. No car seats.
It's true.
We went to church. If it was pouring down rain, if they said tornadoes are coming, we set the tornado up there at Piedmont one night in church. Just sat right there. And after church, we all went out and seen what it did.
Well,
it blew Chris Isom's roof off of his mom and dad's house out there. But, you know, we just went to church. It's something that people used to have in their minds that was important. And now it's just, no big deal. Take it or leave it. Just another service. So what? We can listen to something online. Yeah. We can have virtual church. No, it's not the same as being together.
No.
And we found that out in this year, haven't we?
Yeah.
The church, you sent me the thing yesterday of Van Buren. See, church looking for a pastor. Brand new church and all of this. 150 before the pandemic, but now it's really took its toll on churches.
Yes,
but I wonder if it's a bad thing, really. I mean, when you back up and take a look at the whole picture, I wonder if it's really a bad thing what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God rules in everything.
Yes, he does.
You think he didn't know this? The things that happens when judgment comes for sin on nations, on peoples, on the things that happens in the judgment is good for the people of God. It always is. Because it does for them what they just won't do otherwise. It makes them really appreciate being able to get together. Appreciate the fellowship, the communion together. The Word of God. It forces them to be separate from this ungodly world, which they just won't do otherwise. So, we ought to be at church when the doors are open. Sometimes people can't come. We know that. I mean, I've been sick a few times through the years where I just could not come. But I've also been at church when I was sick as a dog.
Yes.
And I've got up and preached when I couldn't hardly keep from throwing up in my seat. I remember down there in Mexico one time I was going to have to preach in Spanish. And I was sitting there, I was just sick as a dog. And I just said, Lord, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do this. But there was nobody else to do it. And it just had to be. And when I got up, the sickness just went away. And I'm not lying. They're exaggerating. It just stopped while I preached. And as soon as I sat back down, I was sick as a dog again. That's the truth.
Yep.
Now that's just how, and it's been that way more than one time. You just ought to go, well, I just don't feel good today. I just think I'd feel better just sitting here in my rocking chair. Yeah. And watch Jimmy Swagger When you're absent from church, things go on anyway.
Yes, they do.
But you're just not a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you naturally begin to feel as though you're not a part because others have heard and learned things that you missed.
Yep, yes, sir.
And so you feel left out.
Yeah.
And it's your fault, not anybody else's fault. Nobody left you out. You opted to skip.
Right.
And miss it. Yeah. You didn't think it was important. And while you was gone, something happened. Things were said. People heard stuff, learned stuff, talked to each other. And this feeling of being an outsider naturally causes you to seek fellowship elsewhere. So it begins to snowball. That's how people get out of church. You start missing a little bit, and then you start feeling like an outsider. Because they're talking about things you don't know what they're talking about. Well, we talked about it the other night. Well, I wasn't there. There's a ball game that night, you know. Or we had a family reunion that Sunday. Or I was gone somewhere. Nothing's more important than church. You know, I'll schedule my vacations and everything else around church. I just will. I'm going to be gone a Sunday or two, but I'm going to be preaching somewhere. Or I wouldn't be gone. I just wouldn't be gone. It's too important. How many more times do you think we got before the Lord comes? You think it's endless? If you knew, you'd probably cherish each one of them a lot better. And you'd say, ain't gonna miss that one. So, as a wedge is formed between you and those with whom you're supposed to fellowship. Just like a communication.
Right.
You're out. You miss things that happen. It's like a man and wife who just develop their separate ways and separate friends and lives, and he goes to his job and she goes to her job, and they got their friends and he's got his friends, and And they're always talking about what they're doing, and he's talking about what they're doing, and they just have less and less in common. Until the whole thing just blows up. When you're absent, you miss what the Lord had for you in that service. God has something for us in every service. You have to look for it. And if you miss it, it's an opportunity that's gone forever. And I really do believe that's right. I've been in church and it just bored me to death. Just like everybody else has. I've been there when I've had to just absolutely just muck through a message that somebody's preaching because it was just like either saying nothing or saying so much that was just wrong that I just couldn't stand it.
Yes.
I've been miserable in church, but I was always at church. Even in periods of time in my life when I had to sit there and listen to it and I did not want to, I went anyway. I didn't say, I ain't going to go listen to that. I ain't going to do it. I'm upset. I can do better sitting here in my Bible by myself. I never said that. I never believed that.
No,
supposed to be in church.
Yes,
good or bad. If it's pleasant or not pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting fed or not getting fed. You need to be in church.
Right.
The rewards come eventually. I mean, you're planting gardens and plowing ground and all this right now, and that ain't fun, really. You're not getting nothing out of it right now. But you're looking down the road. Farmers are plowing their fields and planting, but they're expecting a harvest a few months from now, not right now. That's the way it is in church. You just go and you be faithful and you do what the Bible says and you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and there's a payday. There's a reward. There's a harvest. It'll pay off someday. You know, we got to hear stuff at church sometimes we don't like. We got to hear stuff at church sometimes we don't agree with. And all that does is just sharpen your sword if you're right with God.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
It stirs me when I hear somebody telling it wrong.
Yes.
It don't make me want to debate them. It just makes me go dig and get it clear in my mind what's true and how to express it so that I don't end up like that. The preacher prays for you and prepares a message with you in mind, and you aren't there to hear it. Now, I don't prepare messages for individuals. I don't do that. I never have. But I know everybody here. And I hear you talk, and I know what's going on in everybody's lives and stuff. And so that's just the way it is, like it or not.
Yep.
I'm in tune with what's going on. If I go like where I'm going to go down there next week and preach, and I don't know those people. I have no idea what they're thinking, how they're living, what they're involved in. And so, you know, it's like this shotgunning, you know. Hope you hit something. Not really, but I mean, there's not that connection.
Right.
You ought to be in your church on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you ought to have a church to go to,
yes,
that you belong to, that you're a part of,
mm-hmm,
where you are faithful there, because there's where God's going to minister to your soul.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And if you miss it, you just miss it. So important. There's so many times when I've had a message and somebody miss, and I think, oh. Of all the messages that you should have heard, you should have heard that one, and you missed it. Do you ever think that missing missing a few services has no consequences? It does. You miss a service at church, you've missed something important in your life that God had for you, and you didn't get it. We all need the fellowship of the church. We receive from preaching of the word what we can't get from anything else on earth. You can get something from somebody preaching to you face to face that you're not going to get on a CD or on a live stream. That's an image.
Yes.
Yes. That's
a whole other
subject.
God said not to do that. Do y'all realize that? But everybody thinks it's the same. No, an image is not the same,
mm-mm,
as a real live person looking you in the eyeball. that you respond to, you know, with your face or with your words or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody responds. There's an interaction that goes on when somebody's preaching to you. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it. And you don't get that anywhere else. You're just not going to get what... I mean, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Mm-hmm. That's how God... Not singing, not fellowshipping, not eating together, not meeting up and, you know, two or three together in a house somewhere. I've had people tell me that, you know, well, if me and you and Brother so-and-so meet together, that's church. And I said, no, that ain't church. We can pray together, we can study the Bible together, and we can fellowship together, but that ain't church.
Right.
Church has organization, and church has leadership and order. Let all things be done decently and in order. The Bible lays it out about the church and how it's to be ordered, and the order of authority, and how, and the watching of it all, overseeing of it all. You don't have that when you're just meeting together loosely in these Bible studies. And you know, furthermore, just let me throw this in there. I've noted through my years as a Christian the character and spirituality of people who want to have home Bible studies in place of church.
Yeah.
And it just don't measure up. I can tell you that right now. Amen. They don't live right, and therefore they don't want to be in church. Where that preacher's looking at them and pointing his finger at them. Where the Word of God is being preached and the Holy Ghost is convicting them, they don't want that, and that's why they're not in church. That's why people don't come to church. They don't want God to deal with them. That's simple as that. They can blame it on everything else. They can say, I don't like that preacher. Now I don't like nobody yelling at me. I've heard that before. I don't want to go there and let somebody holler at me like that. Well, you let everybody else holler at you. You holler at everybody. Why don't you come and let somebody holler at you about God and the truth? No, they don't want that. We need the fellowship of the church. We establish friendships that'll last forever in church. How many of these worldly people that don't go to church and have forsaken the assembling of the church together, how many of them have lifelong friends? How many of them have somebody? You just told them a while ago about people stopping to talk and lonesome and that, don't have anybody. That's the way the world is. They're alone with nobody. Nobody cares, and nobody wants to hear their troubles. That's not the way it is when you're a part of a church. Yeah.
That's right.
Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a family. We're to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And that's the way it is with God's people.
Yes, sir.
There's a fellowship, a brotherhood. It's a family. And it's all bound together by love and gratitude toward God for what He's done for all of us. God is what brings us together.
Yep.
Not just the fact that we like each other. No, the fact is, I went to church with some people I don't like.
It's true.
But I love them in the Lord. Can you understand that? There's some people that just, you know, they're not the kind of people I'd pick for friends, but they're a brother or a sister. And there's something there, and I know most people can't understand this, but I don't feel hatred or enmity or animosity toward them at all. There's some kids that are just trouble. You have a whole passel of kids, you're going to have some of them, and everybody says, you know, they act like it's some kind of sin or transgression because you love one more than you do the other. Well, you're just going to favor. I don't care who you are, and if you're a hypocrite, if you say any different, you're going to favor one or the other. If you got a good kid that obeys and does what you say, and he smiles and he's friendly and he complies, he's going to be favored over the one that's just crossways every time you turn around, always causing trouble.
Yes, true.
Well, it's that way in the church.
Yep.
You know, it's not that you don't love that kid that causes all the trouble. It's just that he is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You don't kick him out. You don't throw him in a dumpster. Can't do that now. No. You can't just set him out by the curb and say, free kid, anybody. No, you keep him. He's yours. He belongs to you. He's family, good or bad. And that's the way it is in church too.
Amen.
If it's right, that's right.
That's right.
If we raise our children up in an atmosphere where God is exalted and worshipped instead of mocked and cursed at. You watch old TV programs even from the 50s and 60s and you'll see this in every single one of them. They always portray God and Christian people and preachers in a bad light. They always do. They're always some kind of crazy, insane, mean person. Or they're just stupid and foolish. Always. Always. And the world, that's no surprise. The world does that all the time. Now it's even worse now. But your children need to be in a place where they see a different side of that.
Amen.
They need to see God honored, God's people honored. They need to see God's people as wise and loving and kind and gentle and understanding and not what you see on TV and in all the pictures and everything. We're putting ourselves and our children under the influence, under influences that don't exist anywhere but in church when we come to church. Mm-hmm. You're putting your children under influences that they're not going to find anywhere else. The scripture here makes it clear that forsaking the assembly of the church is sin. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And just like I said in the beginning there, that word for is a preposition that connects forsaking the assembling of ourselves together with willful sin, which is presumptuous sin, which is the worst kind of sin, which the Old Testament called for the death penalty. Presumptuous sin. Sinning willfully, eyes open, spitting at God, saying, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. Now, I'm talking to you about what the Bible teaches and says plainly.
Yeah.
And it's connected to forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, that's not talking about if you're sick and stay home one Sunday. That ain't what that's talking about. That's not talking about, having some kind of calamity at home and just can't make it. I mean, well, the house is on fire. It's half burnt down, but we went to church anyway. I mean, it's not talking about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Forsaking the assembly is when you say, I quit. I'm done with this. I ain't going back. But just remember, you never get to that point without missing here and there on purpose with other things. It's willful transgression against God because He commands all through the Bible the assembling together of His people. Mentioned that a while ago. Old Testament. They assembled. You remember when Ezra, they had a pulpit of wood. That sounds like this right here. They had the Word of God on the pulpit of wood. Ezra and the other men stood and they read from the Word of God to the people who also stood. All day long. And they read and the Bible says they gave the understanding. Sounds kind of like what we do, isn't it? This is what they were doing. And that's thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. God's always commanded His people to meet together, to assemble together. To forsake the assembling of the church is to reject and forsake all the benefits and blessings that God has promised and declared about the church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. That's what it says. The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. To turn from the meetings of the church to some other source for truth and understanding is to forsake God Himself. People get this idea that they can just forsake going to church and start listening to the world and getting all their ideas and understanding from Anderson Cooper and people like that. And they're still saved and godly and still hang on to God and hang on. No, you're not. You have turned loose of God and rejected God to embrace that. Mm-hmm. Don't mistake. Don't make no mistake about that. Mm-hmm. You can't have it. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or you're going to hate the one and love the other. Jesus said that. You either love God and you go to church where His people meet together, or you hate God and you're part of the world. Now that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there is no middle ground in this matter. You come out from among them and you be separate, saith the Lord. Yes. And you touch not the unclean thing. Then He'll receive you and He'll be a father to you. Mm-hmm. That's what He said. The meeting together, the church, is where we sit together in heavenly places. Where do you think that is? On your bed at night? Out in the woods somewhere, hugging a tree? No, that ain't how. It's amazing how passionate people get. You remember that stupid video of that woman out in the woods crying? Oh, tree, talking to the trees. How sorry. Oh, we're so sorry. He's patting her on the back, you know, trying to come. People so passionate in their insanity. They were met together out in the woods, sure, talking to the trees. And we're crazy for meeting together, reading the Bible and talking about God and fellowshipping one another and sitting in heavenly places together, set together in heavenly places. The assembly of the church is a heavenly place when things are right there.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I've felt things in church I never felt anywhere else.
That's right. Amen. It's true.
Jesus promised to be present when Christians are assembled together in His name. Now this verse in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." Now that's not talking about church necessarily, but church is two or three or more gathered together in His name. Mm-hmm. And He promised what?
Be there.
So if you're just by yourself out on the fishing bank, you got no place in the Bible that tells you that He's going to meet with you there.
No.
I've heard people say that. Well, I met with God. Well, now you can go pray and you can go commune with God and all that, but that's not church.
No.
And it's not fellowship with believers. You're doing something different and something that separate from what happens in church. Not the same thing. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were scattered all over the country, fishing and hunting, having picnics." When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were met together. Now what if they hadn't have been? What about the ones that missed out? Do you ever think about old Thomas? They were all met together except Thomas when Jesus appeared.
Yeah, that's true.
And he missed it. Yep. And he come back and they said, "You missed it. The Lord came." He said, "I ain't believing a word of it. Till I put my finger in His side and I touch the wounds in His hands, I'll not believe a word you're saying. Y'all lying to me." Well, the next time he was there and he saw it himself, see, he completely missed the first appearance of the Lord to the disciples, see, after he rose from the dead. Because he was off doing something else. And they were met together. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together," that's just taken for granted that you're going to be together. "And my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now see, they were together. And then there's protection and safety in the assembling of the saints together. You're going to miss when Jesus comes. You're going to miss it when the Lord shows up in a service. No matter what he does, you're going to miss it if you're not there. And that don't take a lot of intelligence to figure that out. Set together in heavenly places. Find out the truth. Be there when the Lord shows up. And then there's protection and safety in the assembling of the saints together. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." So were they gathered together on the Sabbath? No, they were gathered together on the first day of the week. Mm-hmm. That's the way they did it. They gathered on the first day of the week and they broke bread. They took up their offerings on the first day of the week. They didn't do none of that stuff on Saturday. Amen.
Amen.
Those who do forsake the assembling of the saints are separating themselves. And this is what Jude says about that. And we read Jude this morning. He said, "These be they," in verse 19, "who separate themselves." Not separate from the world. They separate themselves from the church. They forsake the assembling of themselves together.
Yeah.
They separate themselves. Everybody that forsakes the church separates themselves. They may have sat there 10 years and heard about separating from the world and never would do it. But boy, when they separate from the church, you better believe they make a clean cut of it.
Yeah.
And they make it public known too.
Yeah.
They want it known clear, loud and clear that they're not of them. They separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. And then John says, they went out from us because they were not of us. Therefore, they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were none of us. So people that do forsake the assembling of God's people together, do you know what they are? They're not God's people. Dogmatic, whatever you want to call it, that's just the truth. That's the way it is. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That's just the way it is. It's just a manifestation of what their heart really is. Be careful about church. I know it's not always exciting. I know it's not always fun or pleasant. A lot of times there's a bad spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come to church sometimes and I think, shh. Sometimes before I come to church, I know. I know what's going on here. You know, spiritually,
yeah.
There's a bad spirit.
Right.
Trying to hinder the
yes.
service.
Absolutely.
You got to learn to quit blaming people for that and fight this battle.
Yes.
You know,
Amen.
Fight it spiritually, not carnal. Our weapons of our warfare, not carnal.
Right.
Rebuke these evil spirits.
Yes.
Don't get mad at somebody because they just won't control themselves. Don't get mad at the kids because they're just all out of sorts. Don't get mad because it's so crowded in here.
Right.
Fight the spiritual battle.
Amen.
And that's a battle, that's part of the spiritual battle is if, you know, the devil wants to separate your children from you in their heart first.
Yes.
He works hard at that so he can separate them from you. If he can get them away from your influence and under the influence of somebody else, he's got them.
That's right.
And that's how it happens in church too.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
The devil, you know, his number one goal is to get you out of the church.
Yep.
Out of sorts. Out of fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
If he can separate you from where you get your soul's nourishment and care, the most important things in your Christian life, and for eternity. If he can do that, then he's got you. Because you're going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
When you forsake the church, and I'm talking about the gathering together of the church, when you plainly said, when you quit coming to church, you're going to go down the tubes. Mark it down. You're not going to live happily ever after and be just as, and your life's not going to be good, and you're not going to find happiness and joy. And all of the things that everybody wants. You're not going to find it. It's the best thing that ever happened to you. Is being part of a church.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. I believe this is right. I pray you'd help us to understand it, believe it. And Lord, live by it. Lord, there's things that just need to be said. And Lord, maybe I should have said more this morning. But like I said at the beginning, it's kind of odd when we have so many missing to be preaching on this. And Lord, help us, I pray, to obey your word, to realize what we have, and realize what you've done for us in setting it up this way. If we didn't meet but once a month, it'd sure be hard to get by. And Lord, help us to be faithful and to love our church. Love our church family. counted as part of her life and a blessed part of her life. And care about one another and care about what you put us here to do and to be faithful to help one another in accomplishing and fulfilling our duty here. And pray you go home with us now and watch over us. Pray we'd keep our minds stayed on thee. Pray you'd watch over those that are going today too. And keep them safe and in your care. Lord, I love you. Thank you for a place to preach and for people that'll listen in Jesus' name.